I was watching a video essay the other day on YouTube, and it was basically talking about Poland and how they have basically placed it in law that everyone in Poland must be educated on, I think it was media, they call it media education. So from when you're very young, you're trained on how to, if you read certain types of media, so sometimes we call it fake news, they teach you how to discern what's fake news and
That's
what's real news.
amazing.
Exactly. And I'm also thinking right now, like how this isn't even something that should be under debate. I think every
Yes.
country should have some kind of training. It doesn't have to happen at schools because I feel like sometimes we try to overburden the schooling program and try to get it to do everything.
Yeah.
But they literally have a ministry that focuses, right, focuses on this specifically.
Imagine something like this in South Africa.
Exactly. So, and this is very important because when you're living in a time like today where there's countries that are at war, countries that are spreading false information about each other, even not, let me not even say countries, but even regular people spreading false
Yeah, and
information.
with AI, how easy is it?
Exactly. Ooh, that makes it even more important
Yes,
as well.
yes.
Yeah, so just to basically compare this to the idea of digital addiction, because I feel like digital addiction, because it's so personal and because you can do it from within the comfort of your own home and no
Yes.
one can know just how addicted you are to something. And I think what also makes it scary, because there are those who, like the example you gave with the Call of Duty, and I think I definitely would like you to speak a bit more on this. There are those who know that they spend a lot of time playing games and doing certain things in the digital world, right? Then there are those who are not even aware that they're addicted. They think you're weird for calling them out.
Yes.
You know, like the girl who takes way too many selfies when she's out, and doesn't focus on the moment and then enjoy the moment,
Yes.
and she gets upset. You know, when, and even guys, I'm using a she, but even guys do this as well. We've literally come to a point where we think people who don't enjoy selfies are the weird ones. Whereas all human beings come from a world where selfies didn't even exist.
Yes.
Yeah, but just to for you to speak a bit on digital addiction from the place of people thinking that this is just an innocent thing. I'm not
Yeah.
the kid playing Call of Duty in a dark room. I'm just on my phone responding to WhatsApps and scrolling down Instagram. How dangerous is that?
Yeah, so that is really a very important subject, and we will discuss it because at the end of the day, given, and it's a long conversation, but we have to have this conversation. It's about dopamine. So the drug that you do get addicted to is a chemical in your brain called dopamine. So it's true that some people will say, but I only play like maybe 20 minutes or 50 minutes game a day. I am not addicted to porn, but if you add up, for example, like you say, I'm on Instagram for like an hour, then I am scrolling for information, and then I'm playing Sudoku, and then I'm
Yes.
answering WhatsApps. So it's not 10 hours of gaming per se, but you are on your phone just as much.
As
So
much.
whether it's 10 hours of consecutive gaming or whether you are on your screen 70% of your day doing various things, it's the same addiction. So
Exactly.
you cannot, scripture is so clear about that, to take out the splinter in someone else's eye if
Yeah.
you yourself have this wooden stump in your own eye. And
Exactly.
we are very easy to blame, and that actually is one of the key indications that there is really a problem, especially with the gamers, is when they blame shift. The
Yeah.
moment you start saying to a gamer, listen, yo, but you are on your screen a lot and you've been playing a lot, they will get angry and they will blame immediately. It's one of the key things. And just to go back on your example about selfies, the thing that we do not always understand is that it's selfies have weaponized envy.
So, yes.
And envy in itself, we know what the Bible says about envy, you know, but it really cultivated this whole culture of jealousy and envy, and it's actually horrible to the point where we see children who is narcissistic in nature, and to them it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
So you're given there is so many things that we need to unpack, you know, and that is why I think this series that we are doing on the digital dilemma,
yes,
is going to be interesting for everyone, because we need to have a hard talk about this. The time of being an ostrich and putting your head in the sand and just wish that everything will go away, it's not going to happen, because technology will never go away.
Exactly.
It's never going to go away. And like I've mentioned, just like AI, you know, this whole thing of AI is only just starting, and it's going to make everything a million times worse.
Exactly.
So we need to have rules and boundaries and regulations in place and stick to it, and also understand, but why am I doing it? A lot of parents, I think, you know, do not communicate that necessarily well to their children when they do take the devices, or when they put in screen time limits, because the number one thing that these children will say is, why do you hate me so much?
Yeah.
Why do you punish me? You know, what did I do wrong? But that the parents should communicate to say, I'm not punishing you, I'm doing
helping
this
you.
Because I love you.
Yes,
I love you.
Yes.
I need to protect you. I need to be your watchdog. I need to protect your heart and guard your heart, because I'm the parent and you are the child. So the why is very, very, very important.
Yeah, I completely agree with you so much. I think as a parent, and knowing that you have the responsibility to look after your children, you can find it easier to be more strict and to just get the child to do what you say. But we often overlook the fact that if you can get the child to a place where they understand,
yes,
why it's important for you to even do this to begin with, I think that should always be the goal. It's not to say that you won't find yourself having to just act in some situations, but I think if you can get the child to understand to a point that even when you do it, they get mad, but at the same time, they always, you know, either come back to say, I get it, or they come back to apologize for the way they responded. You know, I often listen to, you know, with the concept of studying. You know, you get parents who don't really put a lot of pressure on their kids to study. Then you get, like, they're a bit too laid back. Then you get parents who are, like, always in the back of their children. Like, are you studying? When you get to school, you don't watch TV. You go in the room and you stay there the whole day. I often hear some of my friends who found themselves being raised by those strict parents who always wanted to see them studying, right? To the point where what the parents did not realize is that because they were so authoritarian with it, the children ended up just closing the door and pretending to study.
Yes.
Right? Even though, I mean, they ended up did finishing school, but for the majority of the time you had them in the room, they were not studying. So you weren't accomplishing what you thought you were accomplishing. You got them to sit in a room, but you didn't really get them to actively study.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that it really requires a very, very good balance.
Yes.
Which I know. I'm saying all of what I'm saying, and everyone is thinking, ugh, given things being a parent is so easy.
Yeah. You know, given, that's quite interesting, because with regards to helping parents understanding the digital world, but I also think it can be applied to a lot of things, and also with studying, is what we call the Goldilocks effect.
Oh.
Now, you know the story of Goldilocks with the porridge being too cold and too hot, and then the baby bear's porridge was just right.
Yes,
you know, so
yes,
that is the same with screen time, is the Goldilocks effect, in the sense of not too little screen time, Not too much, but just enough. And the same can be applied to studying. Not too much pressure, not too little pressure, but just enough pressure.
I love that. I really, really love that. So, of course, we're going to be hearing a lot more from Anka. We're going to be hearing a lot more episodes, a lot more stories, and her talking to a number of different people. I think what we've established today, at the very least, is the fact that there's a lot of dynamics that surround digital addiction. Like, we really, and I think it's, for me, and I don't know, right? But for me, I really do find that those who are addicted and know that they're addicted are in a much more, I think it's a safer place to be, to know that you're addicted, even though you're not doing much about it, but you're aware of it and you know that it's an addiction. You can defend it as much as you want.
Yes.
But it's easy for even the people around you to call you out because you're evidently addicted. You know, I think, like, for me, for example, every now and then I always look at my screen time just to see which app am I spending a lot of time on. And I think that's a good sign to go on a fast.
Yes.
And see how long I can stay without this application. But I think for those of us who consider ourselves just normal human beings who are not addicted, it's especially important for us to do a checkup every now and then. And look at when you're sitting around, because the thing about a phone, I've learned, the thing about a phone is that it also, now we use it as a way of breaking awkwardness.
Or boredom.
Exactly. Like, you can be sitting, waiting in line, waiting for your doctor to come.
Yes.
Instead of just sitting there idle or engaging with the people around you, you're going to pull out your phone. And it just gets rid of, I mean, even walking down a passage at work or at a shop, and you don't want to talk to the person who's approaching down the aisle, you're like, ugh, let me just put out my phone. And that unintentionally develops an addiction or a bad habit on your side.
Absolutely. And your non-verbal communication and eye contact is going down the drain.
Exactly. Oh, thank you so much, Anka. I'm very excited. We're definitely going to be having a lot more of these conversations. And I do feel that they're very important. They're very important. And I love that when you started mentioning the centers, I saw you just liven up.
Yes, Kivanyol, that is really my heart. And at the end of the day, I think it's where I am going at, you know, it's my calling is to open a center like that, but like a hope center, where people can come and get help, but also can come and get hope and treatment from various traumas and things. So, yeah, thank you for mentioning that. But thank you for inviting me, Kevin, and that we can have the opportunity to have this much needed talk, and so that we can unpack this digital dilemma.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. So do stay tuned, because we do have more coming. I'm very, very excited right now that we even had this conversation and managed to introduce it to you. And I hope that you're excited for the many more episodes that we will be sharing about Digital Dilemma. It won't just be on the I Am Youth or I Am Live platform. You can also check out the content on Radio Pulpit. Go on over to the podcast section, scroll down, look for the Digital Dilemma content, because I feel like it's going to be very beneficial for you and your family. And if you're young, this will be beneficial for you and your friends, just to make sure that you keep your friends in check and yourself.